Alright, so I'm kind of fucking depressed. I'm fucking mad depressed right now. Alright? As a musician who's been in this game for maybe 20 fucking years, someone who has toured the world, seen every fucking band under the sun, I come along to my friend's gig tonight, the beautiful Melinda Ortner, and
thanks.
I'm seeing a couple guys after her set. Her set was amazing. I'm seeing a couple guys before they set up, looking a bit goofy. I'm not gonna lie, they look a bit goofy, right? I don't know what to think about these guys. I'm thinking like maybe I'm not gonna watch these guys set. Roberto says, I like that goofy shit. And I'm thinking, you know what? I kind of like that goofy shit too. Possibly the best band I've ever seen in my life. And I've seen every fucking band on the fucking planet. Whoop!
Whoop!
Music Hacker, Brains, how you doing? This is Thunder Fox. So this is gonna be mad quick and mad impromptu. Like, we don't know each other, never met each other, literally just saw them play right now. Thunder Fox, where the fuck are you from? First of all, who answers?
Yo. So, we're Thunder Fox, as you said. We're from Sydney, Australia. And this is our first.
Your Sydney game is mad tight right now.
Yeah!
Your Australia style is kind of tight.
In terms of what we're dressing, the way we're speaking, we got good vibes. But good vibes. Okay, well, we like to represent our hometown.
let's look at it this way. You kind of like had probably the strangest vibe. Like, so if when you think that you're gonna listen to a funk band, all right? You like, I have no faith anymore in funk bands. All right. But when I saw you setting up, I thought this is gonna be RX Bandits, but not as good. All right. And then you start playing, and the weirdest fucking thing happens. You start harmonizing with each other. The vocals from a man over here. What's the name over there?
Sam.
My penis got wrecked multiple times.
Sam making
straight
guys hard.
You know what I'm saying? It was like that kind of like, it's all right to get hard to hear another human's vocal sound so sweet. What the fuck is your style? I wouldn't even fucking try to describe it. I'd have said fucking so many different things, but like, what would if you were pushed? This motherfucker has a ginger mullet. You're gonna answer.
What's our style?
No, that wasn't a question. You just said
no. What's our style? What's our style?
Psychedelic funk rock.
Yeah, from outer space.
Okay, so someone tells me, go and check this. Go and check Thunder Fox. Psychedelic funk rock.
Sex funk.
I'm not going to see that.
Yeah, it's hard.
Do you know what I'm saying?
It's hard.
My issue is here. Like every single song you guys did blew me away. One song to the next song blew me the fuck away. How do you categorize this? You're not funk then.
No,
you're a fucking stadium festival band. Like, how do you place yourself?
I like that. It's we have a mixture of styles that we derive it from each other. So the reason that it doesn't sound very similar to anything we've heard before is because we don't tell each other to shut up. We just like let each other do their thing, and then it comes out alright.
Yeah, I guess
lucky.
Just a bunch of weird individuals who are really good friends who make music together.
You know what, dude, that is so fucking real. It kind of came across like that. And I was just saying, we were just saying to Elise over here, we were just talking about what made that band great after your set. And it was like, no fucking ego.
Yeah.
The biggest problem.
Don't get an ego.
The biggest problem with bands is that someone's trying to do shit. Now, here's one of the coolest fucking things ever. Now, you did two covers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you did something really fucking cool with the two covers. Like, go and see this band and watch what they do with the covers. Like, you didn't do covers, you did something special with the covers. But before you did one of your covers, you did something that I think should have happened last. Mm-hmm. It was the introduction of this motherfucker.
Oh. We're
when he
you,
sang?
Yeah, you popped up. You, now, this guitarist, you're like the lead or rhythm guitarist?
A bit of it.
Sexy motherfucker. I'll take you both ways. I'll do you both ways. I don't give a fuck. Whole time, standing around there like I'm that cousin that you invite to a party who's just cool as fuck, and then I fuck your sister. Like, what? This motherfucker right here. Fucks up out of nowhere.
It's a relation. Cousins. That's
very accurate.
And his cousin's in the corner, and they're saying that's what happens.
Say what?
But out of nowhere, you're introduced late in the set. Phenomenal voice on the man.
Thank you.
Why didn't you sing? Please tell me you sound like fucking like
Barry White,
Harold from fucking Neighbors.
I'm waiting for the stadium shows, bro. Yeah.
Okay, so then how did you meet them?
Sam and I are best mates at school. We met at school and we started writing songs together. Connor went to the same school as us. We just started recruiting people as we went along.
Yeah.
It's been a long history of people.
That's it.
Like, no fucking shit, this is like a natural thing.
Yeah, well, we got lucky. Everyone just kind of landed in the right spot and we knew we were the right person. We've been through about 5 bass players before we found Connor.
So how long have you been writing that set for? That material? Because that set there...
A
like,
year or so.
No fucking way! Are you kidding
Max
me?
Max has been here for like a bit over a year.
A year and a half.
He's
the
new kid.
The fresh face.
I'm the newbie.
So since Max joined, that's probably like the last piece of the puzzle, I would say.
I'm pretty much the only reason we're a good band.
I'll tell you what.
No ego.
You're so solidly tight, and that's something that you don't see very often. So you're telling me, I feel like you're all lying, man. Because you're telling me you just literally met friends from school,
yeah.
And you got together, and those songs came out.
Yeah.
How did you join the band?
So Travis and I, trumpet and sax, we've known each other since we were like.
Ginger and bread.
Yeah, ginger and bread. I've known Travis since I was like 12 or 10. We used to play in orchestras together.
Shit, so this goes like way back.
This goes way, with me and him, so we've known each other for like 14 years or something like that. Playing in bands and everything together.
2 to 14 years is what you were going to say there. Y'all have known each other for 2 to 14 years.
I was going to say 10 to 14.
That's an incredibly long time. How do you not hate each other yet?
He's a good guy.
The thing is, I'm wondering if it's cultural because, like, you seem to have a vibe. Like, you have a vibe like I've not fucking seen before. That's the thing, and it really comes down. That's why gelling as a band is easy, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, playing together. It seems like, so I saw you first time tonight. Are you aware, like, you had a vibe... Something happens halfway in your set. I don't want to spoiler alert here, but something happens halfway in your set, and y'all are like nonchalant as fuck about it. But this man's not so nonchalant about it. he busts into something you wouldn't expect him to do. I don't want to give it away.
He's a talented boy.
What did I bust into?
It's been rhymes, bro.
Oh yeah, boy, I could show.
That's a good enough answer. So, what's the theory behind the style of jumping between funk to kind of like harmonizing to then rap vocals?
Yeah, very raps.
I can tell by your hair. Like, I think your hair is super sexy for the era. Like, I think you're new, like. You know, I think no one's gonna expect it. What are we talking? How many solo records we're gonna drop here? Like, I feel like you're selling us on something that in 10 years time there's gonna be like 18 solo records just coming off of this. Y'all like the Australian Wu-Tang Clan or something?
Yeah, we'll get some solo projects going. I think Connor's gonna produce a bit. And Travis is gonna spit some fire on
this tape for this guy.
He's gonna be putting out some
Travis too.
Yeah.
Tell you what, he's got another talent. It'd be pretty cool if we could showcase it just for a second.
Mm-hmm.
What? Oh, yeah. Well, give us a little bit of a...
Yeah,
a
little bit of a...
Cheeky little bit of beatboxing.
Yeah, yeah, it was pretty main.
Oh, shit.
Give him a go.
Give him a shot.
Right up there.
Oh, hell yeah. No way.
So me and this man over here have been in bands for 5 years. I've been through the music industry, seen behind the industry in a way that you wouldn't believe. But I'm massively interested in what you're gonna do now. What? So how are you here? You're in the Fiddler's Elbow. I could imagine you being placed in so many different fucking venues in London, on so many different tours at this time. Why are you here? How did you get here?
So, about a year ago, we were looking at why bands travel overseas and what lets you travel overseas. When, fuck it, let's just do it. We don't really need a reason to do it.
Self-funded?
Yeah, self-funded. We got in touch with a booking agent for our Italian shows, but as far as this London show goes, I sent like 50 emails to 50 venues, and
wow,
this one got back to us.
Nice. Ah.
God damn.
So, alright, we'll do it. And that's how we're here.
Do you have an EP? Do you have a record recorded? Have you recorded yourself sounding that sexy? Are you struggling to record yourself sounding that sexy? I can imagine that being hard.
We're getting
at you sounding that sexy.
We're getting closer.
We're getting there.
We're getting closer.
We had trouble at the start. I think some of our early recordings, we were pretty newbie.
Yeah.
Getting stretched.
Yeah.
We weren't really sure what the fuck we were doing. It's just been a learning process.
And you haven't had a whole bunch of people jumping at you, producers, going like, I want to like fucking get in there?
Yeah, we have, but it's because, like you said, because we don't sound very similar to many of the bands around. People say, oh, we're really good at funk or we're really good at blues, and then you end up messing with them and that's what they sound like.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get a good balance. We found a couple of people that have been good, but it took a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so what I'm massively interested in, it's like, what do you think your next steps are? And then I want to just fucking wax lyrical on what your fucking next steps really are. Like, what do you think your next steps are?
Alright. So, game plan, we get back to Sydney. We signed with a booking agency recently in Australia. So that's kind of like a long-term thing. We got a solid base in Sydney, in Australia, but we want to like spread out to the other cities like Melbourne and Brisbane within Australia. And like, kind of there, we're going to release and record like an EP or an album later this year. But to be honest, having done this tour, we learn a lot, we see where we've fucked up, see where we can improve, and I think we'll probably be back in Europe and the UK in about a year.
It's like, most people don't understand the value of touring and like landing on the road and landing as you go, like as you... The thing is, what's fascinating to me is that you're so tight already, and you have like 6 or 7 songs that are kind of world beaters already. So like... Here's what I would say, do. If you have space to get one more member, or one of you is a camera person, right? Go live on YouTube. Film everything you do. Film your rehearsals. Get a GoPro. Start filming every single thing you do. Upload per day.
Tour diaries.
Tour diaries, every single thing you're doing right now should be getting filmed. Not by you, by someone who will film you and then will edit it and get it up at the end of the day. The band that comes out right now who films every single thing will tear this world apart.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, using YouTube's algorithms, using YouTube, using all these different websites. Get your shit, like, you guys are like, the worry I have is if you kind of like, you're so good now. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're gonna get better. If you guys can get better, I'm scared.
We're gonna get better.
How many songs do you have right now?
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah.
How many? It's a big catalog. We got like 12 songs that we'd like to perform, and then we got another like maybe 10 which are kind of outdated.
Deep cuts.
Yeah, I don't know.
20
songs. We could easily play like 1.5 to 2 hours comfortably.
What's your ambitions though? What do you want to do? Like, if I had to say to you before you died,
world domination.
Yeah,
take over the world. World domination.
No, but seriously, is that true? Because I think you could get there in 1.5 years. What do you think? Because and the problem is when you have the ambition to get world domination and you get there 1.5 years, you could implode in 2 years.
So,
I think
what
we want,
you could be the best
quickest
band
that
falls apart.
I think what we want longevity, and we want to be respected by our peers, you know, because we worked hard to even be where we are now.
How long have you been back for?
Sam and I started writing in 2013. So.
2013. Yeah. So you've been on this project since 2013. So this is not like
stuff.
It's been a slow. It's been a, yeah. The band in general, is maybe two. One
so
two
whose
years.
Brain vision is this? Do you think this is your two brain vision?
Yeah.
Your brain vision.
To an extent, yeah.
The idea.
When everyone came in, like the sound became.
Did you seek out sax?
Yes.
Right. You saw a trumpet section.
I started listening to Sublime.
Right.
Like, I mean, I listened to heaps of songs of sax and trumpet with Sublime, and they did this cover of 54, 46, and that was like the first time where I thought, is that the same vision for me?
Could you imagine that someone would come in and be able to drop bars?
We had some motherfucker before, his name was Chris. And
way better.
Anyway, we had a guy before. And he sort of.
So you had the idea.
We got disenchanted by it. We were like, let's get a sax player. And this cat, like, was just so boring. It was just like some sheet music reading, like, everything by the book. So we kind of got disenchanted by it. And we kicked him out and put it away for a while. And then Travis was a mutual friend, I think, of your brother, Sam?
No, me.
We met at a party. We're both nice and tipsy. We've been talking to each other for quite a long time.
And then, did you say. Yeah, fucking sure. I'll just like play amazing fucking shit for you on stage and jump up every now and then and drop some bars. I can imagine that's what you said.
That's what happened.
Pretty much.
I said yes straight away, and then like I know it's like 6 months or 8 months later or something. He just like texts me, he's like, "Oh, come to rehearsal." I was like, "Yeah, okay."
This is the amazing thing about a band that like there's so many people who try to put shit together and forge something to sound unique, but what you've got right here sounds like it's pretty fucking unique. I'm just trying to get into my head, like, did you try to manufacture this to be this unique, or is it kind of something that's just kind of sparked?
I think we cared about originality from the start.
Oh yeah, sounds like
I learned early on that you can't forge originality individually, or at least not for me. I couldn't do it by myself. As try as I might, it would always sound just like Jeff Buckley. It would sound just like Stephen, whatever I did. So collaboration was the key to finding originality and having the restraint to say, even if you don't like someone's idea, having the restraint to say, all right, let's just try it. Let's just give it a go. Eventually things come together and you're like, all right, I haven't heard that.
This is that no ego thing, and it's so hard. So hard to be in a band with a whole bunch of people when everyone's trying to get their idea across. But then, if you're all so talented, you sing like, and everyone doesn't just sing. You all have phenomenal voices. You know what I'm saying? And no one's fighting. So my question would be, because you have literally hundreds of roads in front of you. Like my question would be, if someone comes to you. And you don't have 100,000 subscribers online. So you have 100,000 subscribers, you can call your deal. You can tell the label what you want. You can probably get that with 1 year filming yourself every day on the road, doing all that shit, you know, and then tell some sponsors and whatever the fuck you want, what you want, because you know you're the coolest fucking band on the planet with 100,000 subscribers. If a label comes before then, what do you tell them? If a label comes before then and says, here's 500,000, record your shit. What do you want? You know, do you take it?
$500,000 is a lot of money. Probably.
Is it considering your career ends?
It really depends on the contract. It's way too hard to answer that. Because like Sam said, our individuality is so important and the product is far greater than the sum of its parts. And if it means us sacrificing that to like a degree which we find unacceptable, then I think we'd say no collectively.
Pretty good at talking shit over to us.
We're a liberal democracy.
We make collective decisions.
Liberal democracy? Look, this is, I want to move to Australia. The rest of your country like this?
No.
So a record company is probably not going to come forward, but if I was in a record company and I was an A&R and I probably accidentally saw you on this tour, I would put you forward in an A&R meeting. Now, I'd probably lose my job if you didn't have upward of 25,000 to 50,000 subscribers. I might lose my job as an A&R. But if I was the right A&R, I would fight for you. And so the label would then come to you. But then, considering your how old are you? Like, what's your ages?
22 to 25.
But considering those ages...
22 to 35. Damn.
22 to 25.
25, okay.
You know, the oldie in the fucking group, like holding the team down. He's a Papa Bear.
Yes, Dad.
I look after all my little brothers here.
Children, I really children. Like how you like opened your shirt up on the stage at one point. I was like, motherfucker, look what I'm doing. But so a label comes to you because of your age, they probably would be incentivized to throw that 100,000 at you at an early stage.
Yes.
And so. That's the kind of thing.
It was 500,000 before. Why is it only 1,000?
Sorry, 500,000. Record deals aren't what they used to be. But if I saw you, I'm saying what I would do in the modern music industry. But the right thing for you to do would probably be tell them to get the fuck off until you built the YouTube. So, yeah.
Do we got bargaining chips?
So you have a business to bargain off of. Because I think you're probably potentially one of the coolest bands I've seen. Like, you're like Bert McCracken, fucking... You're like Bert McCracken, fucking Kurt Cobain, and Anthony Kiedis in one, but you're not like the lead guy. And that's so fucking cool. Like, yeah. I mean, the way did you come up with these ideas? Like, maybe it just all, does it all come down to
we
the
didn't
fact
come
that
up
just,
with the ideas.
You never
just,
came up with
it. They just happened. We didn't be like, oh, I'll do this on stage. And
you never came up with the idea of tying your shirt up like that?
Oh, just because if you say Travis is wearing like a kind of a trampy shirt, I wanted to join him. So I was like,
I feel nervous. I was the only person wearing something.
So I wanted to come to my bro. Wanted, like, we're there for each other, and if one of us is dressing weird, then it's nice if somebody else dresses weird.
Yeah, you gotta back at me, bro.
Jamie was here before the gig, and he said that you'd walk down and be like, hey, bro, do I look like a silly little girl? And he was like, yeah. He was like, perfect. And that sums up the kind of the vibe of you guys. Like, you don't seem to have... Yeah, 30 Seconds of Mars took how many years? And again, 18 years to get anywhere. Would you support each other through that extensive period of growing?
Yes, we were pretty committed, yeah.
As long as we were always growing, musically and individually, then for sure.
Well, you put your records out as you go?
Yeah.
Would you drop this record that you got now, like the other EP you got? Like, would you drop this stuff you've got and then have to fit?
I think we hold our cards close to our chest most of the time. We record things, you know, as scarcely as we can, because we, like we said before, everything comes out of our own...
Yeah.
Everything we do comes out of our own backs, off our own work, because we don't, you know, anyone that has propositioned themselves to us to help us out has been, you know, shifty, or they haven't had our best interests at heart.
Do you trust, like, many people that you have that kind of eye of, like, chill it?
Yeah, we've heard the stories, you know, we're in the industry, we've been in it for a while, and the people that we've met, we've seen failures, and we've seen people that are great musicians be fucked over by some dumbass that had too much money and not enough vision.
Have you had record deal offers? Have you had a record deal offer?
Nothing. Or nothing of any
serious. Management offer.
We've had management.
And you turned it down.
We've
turned it down. Why? So why did you do that?
Because we're comfortable. And
okay. You can manage yourselves at the moment.
We can manage ourselves, and if we meet a manager, a manager is such a personal thing.
So y'all assign each other like different jobs. Like each of you has like a different role.
Jesse takes on the main
manager. You're the manager.
Yeah.
So you book the shows.
Nah, well, we got a booking agency in Sydney recently.
Right, okay.
So I've stopped booking, which is pretty nice.
Just even
nice.
Manage.
Yeah.
So
because Jesse, before you were in here, you know you got glasses on, and like now you look like a manager, but when you were on stage, you didn't have to look like a manager. You didn't have glasses on. You were, so what I would say is, I want to see the next few songs, but I want to know where I can get the songs that you've got. Are you releasing them as you go, or?
What we've released is, we've got shit on Spotify, iTunes, everywhere. Like, what we've released is out there.
So you're turning music that you can get. So anyone who sees you live can get it. Anyone who sees
you
live.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there's so much content out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's plenty of stuff for people to listen to and things like that. And we've got plenty that we're holding on to. Record when we have the chance, when we have the money, when we have the right person to do it, whatever the case may be.
And if the right person doesn't come, will you just keep releasing as you go? Just keep growing?
Yeah, we've met some great people. We've met some good people that have done great jobs for us.
Good producers.
When I say the right people coming, we know a lot of people that can help us out.
Do you have a Patreon account?
I gotta get on Patreon. Set up a Patreon. Maybe even do it while you're on the road and be like, yo, we're on the fucking road. And just like anyone who comes across your shit on YouTube, like just so they can start getting into
it. Are you guys active on YouTube?
Yeah, we
all sort of.
Well, I mean, we have good.
Is it Forward / Thunderfox?
Thunderfox Band.
Thunderfox
official. Oh yeah, shit. True. And Instagram's Thunderfox Band. Facebook's just Thunderfox.
Where did the name come? Thunderfox.com. Where did the name come from?
Sam and I were at school. Just
the name.
We were like an animal and another word would be cool.
You're like, it's not that.
That's not that interesting. I would say if you come across this fucking band, you must check them out. But the thing is, wherever you see this from, if you get a chance to, go and see them live. Like, I walked in and I was looking at you set up and I had no fucking idea. People must be so strangled for music now, and it's tough to find a phenomenal band. And then you see someone set up, you see people get ready to perform, you almost doubt that anyone's gonna bring something fresh. And I felt like the first time I heard Regina Spektor. I felt like the first time I heard Preston Eco. Like I felt the first time when I heard these like something new. It doesn't matter what genre it is, as long as it's new and it's fucking cool. And I got everything I could imagine the dopest. I wanted to hate every second of it, is what I'm saying. As a band, you know what I'm saying? When you see a band, you're like, they're not gonna be as dope as us. You know what I mean? You have that.
Well, that means we've done our job.
You did. Yeah. Every single second of it was... What's it like soundchecking your shit? Like, around other bands and shit?
Same as everybody else, I guess.
Yeah. I don't know. When we're soundchecking, I think we're more just focused totally on getting it sounding right. We don't really care about, like, what kind of vibe we're putting off or what anyone thinks what we sound like during soundcheck. We just want to make sure our monitors sound good.
I think the problem with the rhetoric of like, oh, the best fucking band I've ever heard is like, we don't think that about ourselves. We don't walk around and be like, we're the best fucking band ever.
Yeah.
It's like, you're like, we'll joke don't about ever, it. We'll yeah. be like, oh, so cool. But like, at the end of the day, if we really settled into that, then it wouldn't mean anything anymore.
What if you made like the best album ever though?
What's the best album ever?
As musicians, we all dream of that album when we all start to write shit. You dream of like, man, I want to make that album. What if you make that album? I don't know if you've ever done it.
We'll never know it.
Scariest shit you ever do in your fucking life.
Perfectionists. We'll never know.
I gotta ask where the mullets, like, where does the mullets come from? You got a mullet. Two mullets. Right?
You have like a George Volta.
Why the mullet?
Like
why?
Italian mullet. You know what I'm saying? Like we're like
you can easily cut it off.
Where did it come from?
I want to know. Yeah.
From Mars.
Seriously.
All right.
Where did it come from?
What's
from your mom and dad, put the orange, and then you decided. Take mom's razor for the head.
It's cultural.
It's like, yeah, the mullets, mullets are like an ancient haircut. Like, why can't you just have mullets, you know? Like,
Because you know what people would think. Like, so I have like so many years of experience in the music industry. I think like in somewhat of a market.
You got 30 seconds.
Marketing brain. You seem like you're kind of beating marketing because you seem to have like a recipe. There's no recipe.
Sugar and spice, everything nice.
Yeah!